welcome to episode 21 of Could It Be Podcast. Today we're sharing Zoe's story. Before we get into today's episode, I would like to bring anyone in the UK, I'd like to bring your attention to a study that's being completed there on breast implant illness. So if you've listened to my previous episodes, I've joined a study here in Australia with Professor Anand Deva. And as part of that study, I've been linked with the Leeds Beckett University in the UK, where they're completing a different kind of study. So it's done via Zoom. It's an interview type study and it's done with Tina from Leeds Beckett University. I have my interview with her coming up soon, but she'd like to recruit some more women in the UK to take part in the study as well. She's given me permission to share her details. So if you jump into the show notes, I'll provide a link to her profile at the university there, which does include her email address and how you can get in contact with her. So if you'd like to be part of the study, please reach out to her. She's really keen to get more people joined into the study so that we can, you know, make more noise about breast implant illness. Now Zoe, who is joining me for today's episode, has to be one of the sweetest people I've ever come across. I really hope you enjoy her story and we'll jump into the episode now. Hello, hello, and welcome to another episode of Could It Be Podcast. Today I am joined by another very special guest. It's actually somebody who I've mentioned in my 6 month explant update, a friend of the podcast who reached out to talk about whether I'd been tested for my hormone levels because of the changes that I'd been seeing recently. So I'd like to wish a warm welcome to Zoe to the podcast. Hi Zoe, how are you going?
Hi Bianca, thank you for having me on today.
No worries. Thank you for joining me. So first, Zoe, tell us a little bit about yourself and where you're joining me from today.
Hi, I'm joining from Marlow in Buckinghamshire in England. I live here with my daughter, who's nearly 4, and I teach Kundalini Yoga and sound healing.
Beautiful. Nearly four is like the best age. I've got a niece around that age and she is a firecracker and so much fun.
Yeah.
So Zoe, tell me, I'm just going to open up the floor here. Tell me about your breast implant story.
Okay, so I got implants in 2007. So I was kind of in a bad space. I was working in an industry that kind of compared myself to a lot of women. And for me, it was kind of a reminder of that stage of my life that I've kind of moved on from. I guess like the last 5 years or so, I felt like something wasn't right, that it kind of, I had pain sometimes and different symptoms, but I didn't really relate it to BII. I had no idea about it. And it was only after like going to the doctors and saying about the pain and then finding out that there's nothing wrong, it just kind of felt like something's not right in me and I kind of need to remove them. And then I think, I can't really remember exactly how I discovered BII. It was either from a video, I watched like quite a few videos at the time, and then discovered the Facebook group, Healing by Nicole's Facebook group. And then when I saw a list of symptoms, then I kind of realized this is all the symptoms I have as well. And it kind of opened up my mind thinking like, you know, I need to get these out. And I guess I kind of made fast moves to kind of remove them and remove them in August this year, of last year.
Yeah, and it was August the 9th, did I see on a video that you shared? So it's 3 days before my birthday, so...
Oh, really? Oh.
Like an anniversary. what sort of symptoms did you have?
So first it was a pain, like, in the left side, and it felt, like, really deep, and I had rashes, and the rashes got kind of worse towards the end. Like, I just kept being allergic to anything, like deodorant, moisturisers. I've just become really sensitive when I wasn't sensitive before. I had hair loss, what other symptoms? Fatigue, I was always tired. But like, obviously the symptoms can be related to many things, so you kind of don't relate it to the breast implants. I heard on one of your podcasts, you had the eye ticking.
Yes.
I had this as well, and I haven't actually had it since removing the implant.
Yeah.
So if that's related, and it's really strange, but it would just like flicker.
Oh, it was so annoying. And I didn't know until I spoke to Kate and she mentioned she had it. And then I was like, wait a second, I had that and it has stopped since explanting. Yep.
Yeah, no, it was really strange. And I only learned that the other day. Yeah, no, weight gain, I think actually straight after having the implants in, I kind of like gained a bit of weight then. I think it was the whole thing of like having an operation and then stopping you like putting you back for quite a few months, and then you don't feel yourself. And I think then I had kind of a bit of a spiral of gaining weight, unable to lose weight easily. Like the only times that I've really lost weight is when I've been like on a juice cleanse and I'm literally not eating any food, or I'd be eating just vegetables and just not healthy really. Like,
not maintainable.
Yeah, always starving myself. And, you know, I eat quite healthy anyway, and I don't drink alcohol, and it was still like really hard to kind of just lose any weight. And yeah, it was only really since I saw the list of the symptoms on the site that, and then I kind of linked it, and it was almost just like an inner knowing, like, I've got to remove these. And yeah, and that's what I kind of did.
For sure. So you were saying once you sort of found out about it, you kind of fast-tracked your way to wax planting. Like, tell me about that, the whole experience.
Yeah, so at first I saw my GP through the NHS, and he was very great. He was like, because it felt a bit hard, and I felt like something, it was like, I think it was folding, and it was like sticking out a little bit on the left side. And he was really great. He was like, put me forward to have a ultrasound and to the breast clinic. So that was all quite quick, and he was really good for putting me forward. And then when I went to the breast clinic, basically another thing is the clinic that I had them put in, my clinic in London, they always told me that the implants went underneath my muscle. And then when I went for the scan, the ultrasound, she just kind of just went around. She didn't go on the top at all. She just kind of went around here. I'm not sure if that's the way they're supposed to do it, but and she's like, yeah, it's underneath your muscle, everything's fine, there's no need to remove them. But it was like, I have this pain, I have this hard thing sticking out, and it was like, something's not right, this isn't normal. And that's when I started to look into private doctors, and I was just like, I just need to remove them. And I then discovered Dr. David Floyd, who I explanted with. But prior to that, I found from the group another doctor, Dr. Power. I can't remember his first name. Might be Adrian. But it's Dr. Power. And so I originally was going to go with him because his availability, it was a lot sooner that I could remove them. And Dr. Floyd had like a really long waiting list. But I just contacted his receptionist and just said, look, can I be on a waiting list if you get a cancellation? And funny enough, 1 week before, not maybe 1 week, a month or so before, a cancellation came up for 1 week before the date that I had planned with Dr. Power. And okay. So I ended up going with Dr. Floyd, just because he seemed a lot more experienced, and there was a lot more girls in the group that had explanted. I saw pictures and, you know, proper live feedback with people. So that was really helpful. Whereas Dr. Power, he was, he was really well trained, but I just didn't hear any feedback, but I'm sure he would have been just as good.
Yeah, for sure.
So I explanted with Dr. Floyd, and yeah, I'm really happy with the results, and yeah, I'm glad I've done it.
Yeah, for sure. Did you have to have a lift with your explant, or just have the explant done?
Yeah, so I was actually, prior to like having my daughter, before I even knew about breast implant illness, I was thinking to remove the implants before like getting pregnant. And I saw a couple of surgeons, and they were just awful, to be honest. They just said, like, you're going to look awful, you're going to look saggy, you need to have bigger implants, or you need to just or have a lift with the implants as well. And I was kind of like a bit traumatized, like, I don't want to have bigger implants, I just want to remove them. I didn't care. And this was all before I knew about anything. And they said as well, oh, wait till after you've had children. And that's kind of what I did. I just waited and thought, okay, it was always in like the back of my mind, like, I want to remove them, but I didn't really know when, I guess. And I wish I did remove them before, because I kind of struggled with breastfeeding. I felt like I wasn't making the right milk, because obviously it was there restricting everything. And obviously I thought they were underneath the muscle, but they were on top of the muscle, and it was just really painful and sore. And yeah, if I could go back, I would have removed them beforehand, and yeah, and just, yeah, see what happened.
Yeah, I guess sometimes the timing is what works. Like, you never know. If you had gone through one of those surgeons that was horrible at the time, they might have left you feeling and looking you know, not as great as you're feeling and looking now. And things like, you know, how important it is to have the capsule removed where it is safe to remove it. They might not have known to do that, and you might have still ended up with those symptoms as well. So I guess sometimes these kind of things work out how they're supposed to, as much as it is horrible that you've sort of had these years where you've had these symptoms. You know, it's probably worked out for the best. You just never know. Like, being able to go back in time.
I had no awareness of, like, having to remove the capsule as well. I wouldn't have known all that. So, yeah, I guess it worked out well. I had a lift. He said I could have gone without a lift, but he said I probably would have preferred the results with a lift. And I just thought, well, whilst I'm going under, I'm just going to do it all in one. And so that's what I went for. I was a little bit hesitant because I didn't want the scarring, and I'm a little bit paranoid about it now. But, I'm pleased with the results, and, yeah, I felt it was the right thing to do.
Yeah. Was there anything that you kind of did in the lead up to the surgery to prepare yourself in any way, whether it was like the physical things that you purchased or any kind of spiritual things that you did in the lead up to it that helped you?
So I guess I was just being really conscious of what I was eating, like having lots of fresh juices, celery juice, and lots of foods for inflammation. I was exercising. What was I doing? I got myself a pregnancy pillow, which was amazing, which I had to, like, wean myself off it took, like, 3 or 4 months to get, you know, to remove it, because I got quite comfortable. It just kind of, like, arched all the way around, and so you were kind of, like, in bed with, propped up, which was quite nice. What else did I do? I took, like, an eye mask and earbuds. The room was so noisy. Well, it wasn't so noisy, but they had this machine. I don't know if you had it, and it was like
the leg thing.
Like, you put the socks on, and the machine goes over, and it was like making this really loud sound all through the night. So in the end, I turned it off actually halfway through the night because I just couldn't sleep. Yeah, that's kind of all I really prepared. I looked on the forums or what everyone else was recommending, and it was really helpful actually, you know, just having that insight of like other people's experiences and knowing what, you know, you should take on the day. I was actually really, really nervous on the day. Like anxiety, like out the window. It was just completely, I was just completely anxious. I had a crazy headache. But it was actually just, it wasn't, once you go through it, it's actually not as scary as, you think. And it's funny because when I did the operation, you know, back, like, 2007, I didn't think twice about it. I don't think I was even half as nervous as I was removing them. And it was kind of, like, funny, you know, two different experiences. Is that, you know, kind of a big operation. But this time around, I was, like, a lot more aware of, like, going under and...
It's 15 years between the two. You're, like, you know, you're younger when you go through the initial surgery. And, yeah, there's this fear I have, like, the explant was my 13th surgery. And at about surgery number 5, I think, I started waking up crying because I was petrified of going under anaesthetic and not waking up from it. That's definitely something that's in the back of your head when you go under any anaesthetic. There's that risk, and you know, you've got a daughter that you wanted to wake up for. Like, there's those kind of things that go through your mind for sure.
And you just think the worst, but when I came around, I felt amazing. I was quite shocked. I think I was just like, oh, I feel fine, and I could walk around and a lot quicker than I thought. I thought it was going to be like bed bound, but you know, I could get up and go to the bathroom on my own, and it was really. I was quite surprised, and I think I was just massively relieved that it's done, it's over, and I'm glad it's done.
How soon after the surgery do you think you started seeing any kind of improvements in your symptoms?
I have to admit, when I came home, I felt, I felt really groggy for a little while. I felt good. I could go out and walk. I was fine. I felt though it kind of triggered maybe my hormones, and so I did go for a period, maybe the first month or so, where I had like a week of insomnia, and it was just really, really bad. I felt like it's just done something in my body, changed my hormones. I felt really good, but it was just, I think, also being confined, and I had my daughter to kind of look after as well. And so it was quite, I found that period a little bit difficult. But regarding like the symptoms, I didn't have the rashes, which I really flared up just before the operation. And I felt more like, eventually after the operation, I felt like I wasn't so bloated, I wasn't so puffy. And things have just been gradual, because I haven't had anything so severe that's really, really noticeable. I think it's just one of those things that's kind of, you notice over time. But I feel like I've had more energy since the operation. I think it's just, one of these things where I've got to wait it out and see what happens.
Yeah. Yeah, you see so many people post about like, I felt this brilliant straight away. I absolutely believe that that does happen to some people, but it seems to sort of, it is different from person to person, as any kind of surgery is, but it can come and go in waves. Like, you can be feeling really great one day and then the brain fog hits you again. Or like with the insomnia, I do hear about that a bit, and that seems to be something to do with maybe the body detoxing and like you sort of awake and, I'm not medically qualified to talk about that, but there's absolutely things that happen with our body after explanting that mean that it's not necessarily that you feel amazing the moment you wake up and then forever. There is that up and down, absolutely.
Yeah, I'd say it took me at least like 3 months to start feeling like a lot more energy. I think it took me, I felt quite tired a lot of the time. Like, I felt like energized when I was awake, but then I get tired a lot quickly, and I think that was just my body healing from the operation.
Impacts of anaesthetic as well. I've been through it so many times, but reading some of the comments in the groups about like go easy on yourself for this amount of time after surgery, and I'm like, oh, but I get clearance to exercise 6 weeks after, can't I just go into everything? But it's like, well, no, your body needs a bit more time than that. And it's like, oops, I didn't know that. But yeah, anaesthetic has more of an impact, I think, than a lot of us realize.
I read that as well, and some women were like exercising before the 6 week mark, and I was just kind of like, how have they got the energy to do that? And also, I was really confident. I was kind of like, I don't want to be like running about and lifting stuff, and I want to just heal. It took a little bit longer, I guess. I guess you're just aware, aren't you? So you kind of want to be just be careful. You don't want to
definitely yes yeah. What did your surgeon say about going back to exercise for you, obviously being a yoga teacher? You're stretching a lot lot of the poses.
I think he said to after the 6 weeks, he said I could exercise, but just to be careful, like upper body, just go easy. I think just kind of listen to your body. I can't really remember. It was just all about kind of listening to your body, but I was fine to go back at 6 weeks. Yeah. It was just more myself. I didn't feel like it was the right time. I just wanted to wait a little bit longer. But I guess around the 3 month mark, I then kind of felt like, oh, I want to go for a run. I want to go to the gym. And I felt like this kind of release of energy.
Yeah. How did your first sort of few visits to the gym and your first few runs go after explanting?
Yeah, good. Yeah. I felt like really inspired to go, and it felt good. Yeah, and now it's more like I want to go all the time, whereas before it felt like, oh, I don't want to go. And yeah, now it feels like a bit more like you need to or you want to go. Just getting back to yourself, really.
Yeah, burning off all that new energy you've got all of a sudden.
Yeah.
So we're sort of around, I'd say just over 5 months, I guess, since your explant. Is there anything else that you sort of want to share about how you're feeling now? Like, what other symptoms might have disappeared, or anything that you'd noticed after your explant where you're like, oh, that might have been another symptom?
Not really. I didn't have like loads of symptoms, but and like the rashes, I've only flared up recently, which is like the first time in like a long, like 6 months or so. Whereas before it was like all the time, anything I used, it just kind of flare up. I guess I feel like I've got more energy, I'm a little bit more clearer, thinking clearer. I just feel like I'm a bit more back to myself.
Yeah, amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, so I've noticed my hair's been growing back a lot faster, thicker, it seems a lot healthier. Before it was kind of falling out around these temple areas, it would break, it felt like a lot more brittle. So yeah, I've noticed my hair has improved.
Beautiful.
I feel a bit more brighter in my appearance.
Did you do the selfie to check whether your eye colour changed before and after the surgery?
I did, but I didn't really notice much different. And I kind of, like, felt it was, I don't know if it was all because of, like, all the drugs and everything they've given as well, that I was, like, much more brighter. But, you know, I did notice, you obviously, yeah, you've just come, gone through a massive operation and then you're, like, much more brighter than you were beforehand, which was quite interesting.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, that was my experience too, like, you know, I mentioned before about crying waking up from surgery, but this one I didn't cry, and I woke up like so bright. I was like, I knew to look at the clock. I'm like, okay, my surgery must have gone for about 2.5 hours. That means that my partner will still be here for an hour and a half because that's when visiting her. Like, I was just so aware and awake straight away. Like, and I hadn't had that just on a normal day, like, in so long. So yeah, it's got to be a thing.
Yeah, and actually one thing is the medication that they gave me to take, I found that it just made me feel really rubbish and just really, like, just, I guess it's there to help you to fall asleep and after the surgery, but I didn't actually take the medication. I think I took it, like, the first day or maybe the day after, but after that I just stopped taking it because I just found, like, I felt fine, I wasn't in pain, and, yeah, there was no need to really take it.
Yeah, was that like a painkiller that they'd sent you home with?
Yeah, or? I can't remember what it was called, but it was just so strong, and every time I took it, my whole body, like, relaxed, like, the whole muscles and everything, and I kind of, like, would just be really floppy, but I also didn't really feel good. It made me feel a bit, like, sad, and I just felt like it wasn't right for it. It wasn't right to take it.
Yeah, yeah, and, like, you know, you've very self-aware and would be able to listen to your body and know, like, what sort of pain you could deal with and couldn't deal with. So yeah, you're just listening to yourself there and not continuing to take it.
Yeah.
So, like, if there was one piece of advice that you could go back and give to your younger self back in, like, pre-2007, like, what would you tell her?
Just to work on finding your own identity and not kind of change yourself, not compare yourself to other people, just live in your truth and just, yeah, work on with your own kind of unique self. And yeah, it's hard though, you're kind of finding yourself, you don't know yourself at that kind of age. And I think just any other young people thinking about having it, I think just chuck yourself into things that your passions, kind of discover your creativity, discover what it is that you enjoy and not be distracted by what you think you should be or what other people think you should be.
Yeah, definitely. There's more that you can bring to the world than your boobs. This is what I've said before. You know, it's how you treat people and what you bring to the world as a person, as a human being, over, like, you know, how you look or, like, how far your chest sticks out. Like, that's so much more important. So, as I mentioned before, like, you reached out to me after listening to the episode where I was like, oh, like, I'm gaining this weight and I can't lose it. And you're like, hey, have you had your hormone levels checked? What's your experience with that post-explant?
Yeah, so it was shortly after the operation. So I was very, like, heavy. I gained quite a lot of weight straight after the operation. I guess it was, like, from the anaesthetics, maybe, like a lot of water weight. And then I kind of lost weight. And then, like, I gradually kind of just put on weight. And also, I kept having insomnia, and, well, I'd have, like, 4 days of insomnia each month, so I was kind of sure that it was something to do with my hormones, because on those, it was always like my body's completely alert, I'm completely awake, my mind will not switch off. It's not like I was overthinking, because I, like, meditate and do stuff all the time, but it was just almost like I cannot switch my mind off, and I'm just alert and awake to any sound and thing. And then a friend was telling me about, like, oh, you know, it could be perimenopause symptoms, and I was reading about it, and it did really, really sound like that. So I went to the doctor, and he was like, you know, you're too young to have perimenopause, and said he would do tests. And then I went to see a private doctor who was a specialist for a friend, and he was like, no, it sounds like it could be perimenopause, but we need to do the blood tests on the first couple of days of your period. So then I kind of put it off because then I'd sleep amazingly for like a chunk of the month, and then it would get to the 4 days again of not sleeping. And then, so recently I've gone back to the doctor and I'm doing tests on Monday actually. So hopefully I will have some answers, but
yeah,
it's kind of really hard because I always almost feel like I need to be testing when I'm in that zone of not sleeping. Whereas at the moment I'm sleeping fine and I almost feel like, yeah, it's all going to come back perfectly because I feel fine in myself. But yeah, let's see, you know, next week is kind of the time when I'm normally don't sleep and I don't feel myself. So hopefully they'll pick up on something. But I also feel, because the doctor said, oh, you know, an operation is quite a big thing to go through and it's like your body adjusting, so your hormones are naturally going to be out, you know, all over the place. So I kind of feel like it's almost like going off the pill. You kind of, your body takes quite a time just to kind of adjust and get back to its normal state. So I kind of feel like I just got to kind of go through this. And I don't know, hopefully within a year I'll be feeling back to normal and sleeping fine. But yeah, it is very strange how it is just like 4 or 5 days of like just pure no sleep. And yeah, and also you can kind of like function and be normal in the daytime, which is really crazy.
Definitely. I wouldn't be able to do that for sure. Have you noticed the insomnia is at a certain time of your cycle, just out of interest?
Yeah, so it's okay. The week before. It's usually the week before or the week after my period.
Okay.
And it's usually the week before. But yeah, it's definitely kind of ramped up since the operation, I'd say.
Yeah.
It's definitely something, but I guess like you've gone for a massive operation and it's your body's healing and it's not, yeah, it's probably just adjusting to kind of what's going on inside, and it could be detoxing, you know, could be anything. But yeah, I'm taking lots of different supplements, and at the moment I'm taking vitamin C and reishi mushrooms, which has seemed to be kind of like calming it down a little bit. The reishi mushrooms are for like the immune system and also like stress on the body. So I don't know if that's helping or if it's just coincidence, but yeah, I find that's been helping so far.
Okay. I'll look them up and I might put some information on those mushrooms, reishi mushrooms.
Yeah.
In the show notes, because like when I've been looking at different hormone supplements available here in Australia, I don't remember the exact mushroom type, but I know that there was some sort of mushroom in that particular hormone. It's not a hormone supplement, it's like to help you get your hormone levels in check. Good luck on Monday. Hopefully you get some answers and like maybe we can even have you back on to share that. I'm in the process of like after your suggestion to go and check my hormones, mine's the same, like, but like my blood test needs to be taken at the end of a period. When I had the Mirena in, I didn't know when that was because I was spotting 2 weeks at a time and I didn't even know whether that was aligned to when I would have normally had a period. So yeah, hopefully in the next few weeks I'll be able to go and get my blood tests done. But I feel like there's different things in different countries, and when I asked my doctor about it, she was like, oh, the blood test you get here is the one that you have to check whether you've got polycystic ovarian syndrome. You've had that test before and you don't have PCOS. I'm like, yes, but something's not right. So like, yeah. I need to know. So I don't know whether it's the kind of thing that shows up on blood tests here, but I'm gonna just keep like at them until I find out what's going on.
I think it's quite I think like because your hormones are changing all the time, I think it's like you've got to, I guess maybe if you do a few tests and then kind of compare it, like what's going on. But yeah, no, every time I've done an NHS doctor's test, they haven't ever said when to actually do the test. They just kind of say, you know, come in for a test.
Yeah.
And then it's always perfectly fine, as if like you're just completely crazy. And it's, but it's like a real thing, you know, you can feel something's not right in your body. This will be the first time to do the test in the right kind of space. I also spoke to a nutritionist in this health shop, so I'm constantly buying like different supplements, and turns out she works a lot with hormones. And so she did actually say, I've got notes here, but she was like saying to also test like vitamin D, B12, folate, thyroid, and just like your hormone profile. Yeah, I guess like it's just an imbalance in the body somewhere, and it's just, yeah, hopefully it's kind of like correcting itself and going back to normal.
Yeah, and especially when you're doing everything else, like, you know, you're eating well, you're exercising, you're looking after your mind, like your mind spiritually as well, like you're covering all of the bases, you know, and then it would be frustrating to not have things sort of going how you would assume that they would when you're looking after yourself so well. So yeah, hopefully after a certain amount of time, it does sort of sort itself out. It's amazing. You know, you can go to doctors and get referrals for tests and stuff, but like I've been to a really good dietitian too, where I was referred for weight loss, but also to look at, like, I've had endometriosis removed in the past, and she could actually talk through some different ways of eating to avoid endometriosis coming back. So you need to look at it holistically, not like this is a blood test, you take this medication. Of course, medications are required in certain circumstances, but yeah, you can do certain things like taking certain supplements and eating a certain way, like avoiding inflammatory foods, or adding, for me it was adding psyllium husk to my smoothies in the morning, because that helps to, I think it binds to the excess estrogen that causes endometriosis again. What was that, sorry?
Yeah, I was going to say, it's like a clay, it kind of like draws everything out, like sticks to all the bad stuff and draws it all out of your body.
So I'm making sure I'm having that either like in my smoothies, or when I get over smoothies, I make baked oats, and I'll make sure I'm like piling that in there. Because I'm trying to avoid endometriosis, but obviously now that may help with leveling out any kind of weird hormone imbalances I have. So look at it holistically and find out, you know, speak to anyone that you can to get that information about what you can do to support your body. It's like so important.
Yeah.
So what sort of implants did you have?
So I had Allergan, it was CUI, MLP, and they were like 435 cc's. So originally I was like a CD cup, and then I went up to like an E cup, and I only wanted to go up like one size, but I kind of, went up two sizes, and I just felt like they were really big and uncomfortable, I guess, from day one. It took a while to kind of get my records. At first they said they weren't on file and they didn't know. So once they then read about the Allergan were on the recall list, I then, I really wanted to know what was inside me. And I think there was a girl on the group who then said, no, you've got to tell them it's a Freedom of Information Act, and they've got to give you your records. Apparently there is your records somewhere and they should be giving them to you. So when I said this to my clinic, they then gave me my files. I also contacted the hospital as well. So if you contact the hospital that you had the operation, then they also have a record of it. And Maya gave me what they thought they were, and then it was confirmed with Highgate Hospital.
So those were definitely the ones that were recalled as well?
Well, this is the thing. They were textured, they were allergen. And it says online that all the textured ones were on the recall list, but then my client was saying, oh, no, it's nothing to worry about, they're not on the recall list. So I still don't know, are they the actual ones that were on the recall list? But, I guess I'm just happy that they're out of my body.
Yeah.
Because I guess the textured ones that I think that are causing that type of cancer as well. So, now I know. It's just like, it's just a relief to have them out of my body.
Definitely. Did your capsules go off and get tested to make sure that the cancer wasn't present in them?
Yeah, that was all fine. I think, I can't remember what it was. They said there was like traces of the silicone. I can't remember exactly, but it wasn't anything to worry about.
Okay.
Apparently it's quite normal that it seeps into the capsule, and then,
Yeah. I guess that's why our body forms a capsule to try and avoid like that. The toxins, poison, like I don't even know what to describe them as, but yeah, to avoid that kind of the silicon seeping into our bodies, the capsules formed. It's probably saved a lot of people from that kind of thing happening. Plus anyone that's had ruptures, the capsules held that rupture in. So did yours have ruptures or anything in them in the end, or they were intact?
No, so they were all intact. But the only thing is, it's just kind of like deflated and like was folding. And it's kind of like, well, if it's deflating, where is that product going? It's got to be going somewhere. So when I saw it, it's just kind of like more ripples. But I mean, obviously something has come out or evaporated inside the body. I don't know. So they said it's all fine. But obviously something was going on inside, and the pain and everything, it was just, it was almost like a sign, like, remove them.
Did you get to take your implants home with you after the surgery?
No, they said you can't take them home. I got a picture of what they look like and the capsule and everything. He said it was all fine, it was quite thin. But that was all and then they just did the test and then sent the test back. But yeah, I know they said it was nothing to worry about.
Yeah.
And luckily it was on top of the muscle, so it wasn't such a big operation to remove them as well, which was, I guess, a blessing in disguise, even though that my clinic said that they were underneath the muscle.
It's
quite worrying, isn't it? You have an operation, you trust the doctor's giving you the right information, and then you find out later that actually they're not under your muscle, they're on top of your muscle. So
Or you hear about people going under and waking up with bigger implants than they were told they were going to get. Like, how does that happen? Completely changing the way your surgery was done. In the end, it ended up like, you know, a positive thing, but you know, like, that just baffles me that kind of thing can happen.
I kind of wanted them to have like more of the shape on the side and, you know, be the kind of shape, but then I woke up and it was just almost like, what have I done? Like, this massive thing and on my chest. And obviously you think as well, like, oh, your clothes are going to fit in the same way. I had to get rid of loads of clothes. And it was kind of, I don't think I've ever really been in a stage of like being really in love with having implants. It was more like, oh, what have I done? It's, you know, you just don't think, I guess, when you're younger.
No, so you get that thing sort of in your mind, you're like, oh, I need this to feel better about myself. I'll feel better when this happens I feel better when, you know, I make this change to my body. And then you just like this, for me, there was not really a way to think otherwise after I was like, oh, I can start to feel and look normal if I get these implants. And that was it. Like I was going to have them. But you know, looking back, maybe I would have questioned more things and looked at different options and like, you know, but I was 22. I was 22 was my other surgery. But like, you know, you don't question things when you're that young.
Yeah, no, they need to put like at least an age limit, like 25 or something, because I think you're just so young. You think you're old, you know, you're older and mature, but you're still kind of finding yourself. And yeah, you know, and also I don't think they put enough, they don't tell you enough about, you know, every 10 years or so, you've got to change the implants. Like I, you know, mine was ended up being like 15 years and I still had the same implants in. And yeah, they need to like make it a bit clear. This isn't just not one operation. You're going to have operations every so often for the rest of your life. And
that's it. Like imagine being 70 and getting your implants redone. Like that's one thing that I was like, am I going to be doing that still then? Am I going to be putting myself under that risk?
Definitely.
Won't have to worry about that anymore. They're gone.
Very happy that I've done the operation. Now it's just a healing journey.
On the topic of healing journey, you shared a video with me that, you know, we're going to have a quick chat about in the episode today, like a YouTube video. Tell us a little bit about that.
So I teach Kundalini yoga, which is kind of the yoga for the mind. It's quite a spiritual form of yoga, which kind of really connects you to your creativity. And the video that I shared was just a practice that I created to help people on their journey if they're, you know, thinking about doing the operation, or if they're healing as well. So it's a meditation called Ho'oponopono, which is a Hawaiian ancient practice, which is for self-esteem and self-love. I've also got a little bit of breathing exercise, which is really good to help the anxiety. As I said, my anxiety was kind of like off the scale just before the operation, so you know, I was doing this breathing exercise. You basically just inhale for equal amounts, so you inhale, hold your breath, and then exhale, and this really kind of like brings you back into yourself. And it's just ending with a journaling session, just to kind of bringing awareness to what you want to heal, you know, focusing on the positives of your operation. So, you know, you can be really fearful just before. Just think about yourself having the implants out, thinking about healing and moving forwards rather than all the fears that you can be, you know, stuck in your head thinking about just before. So, hopefully the practice helps people if, you know, you're thinking about doing this operation or if you are just about to do it. Hopefully it will help you to be a bit more calmer. So I'm also going to be uploading some videos to my YouTube channel, which is going to support the lymphatic system. So in Kundalini yoga, we use a lot of movement, especially like with the arms, and helps to kind of detox and bring yourself back into yourself. So I'll be uploading those videos in a couple of weeks.
Beautiful. I'm looking forward to that because it's something that I feel like I need because of the fluid retention I've been experiencing. So I'm subscribing to your channel. I can't remember whether I did it just before, but I absolutely will be because, you know, I think, yeah, that, you know, trying anything and everything that is natural is something I'm absolutely open to. And I do love yoga when I actually get my butt into gear and do it. So what I'll do is I'll share the link to your channel and to the meditation in the show notes, and I'll pop it on the Instagram as well when I when we share about today's episode.
Yeah, that'd be great. Thank you.
Cool. Where can our listeners follow along with your story and with your yoga practice?
So you can find me on Instagram and YouTube, and it's Her Spiritual Place. Yeah, you can see like yoga videos, and I also create music as well, which is inspired for like my yoga practices and healing. So you can also find that on Spotify and all music platforms, which is just in capital Zoe, and on the E it's got like a little line, but you can see that from my profile on Her Spiritual Place.
Beautiful. I'll share that in the show notes as well. So that brings us to the end of today's episode. I just want to thank you, Zoe, for taking time out of your morning in the UK for joining us and for sharing your story today. And, you know, we may have you on the podcast again soon to talk about the outcome of your hormone testing and anything else you want to share, BII. So thank you so much for today.
Yeah, no, thank you, Bianca. It's been really great. And, yeah, just continue creating and helping other people.
Thank you. This podcast shares my own experience and research. I'm not a medical or health professional. You can find me on Instagram at couldbeiipodcast. Thank you to my incredibly talented partner, Jacob Tengdahl, for the intro and outro music. All recording, editing, and artwork is done by me.